Spectacular, episode 245. Top games for 2010 for January 11th, 2011. Welcome to Spectacular 245. I am Dust Storm.
I'm Brett Gamer.
Wait.
I'm sorry, you can go first, Greg. I love it.
I already did go first.
Yeah, Greg went first, and I went last. I'm Brent Gamer. Hey, everyone. We missed you.
It's been like 2 days.
Last, but certainly not least in this case.
Let's try to keep this one around 30 minutes if we can.
I'm sure it'll be around 30 minutes.
All right. Well, we're going to do two Game of the Year shows. We're going to do one that's our three Game of the Year, or Games of the Year. We'll probably talk about multiple ones. And then we're going to do one for the community picks. First up, we're going to do ours, because we can kind of gauge how long that will take.
Yeah.
Here, then we can gauge the other ones. So. Basically, in this show, you guys are going to be hearing what our favorite games were of 2010.
2010 was a good year.
Ours, yeah. As in Brent, Dustin, and myself. So you'll be hearing about ours. And then in the next show, if you want to hear your submissions, you want to head on or wait to the next show. But you still probably want to listen, because there's probably going to be some good stuff in this one.
Most likely.
Brent's going to go on some tangent before the show's over, so you don't want to.
Which one's it going to be?
What was the off one that you chose last year?
Oh, for my, like, game of the year?
Yeah.
Didn't we do, like, games of the decade?
Oh, maybe it was
Game of the Decade. Yeah, it was the Decade of Game show. Yeah. I remember I chose a bunch of kind of weird ones. I chose...
like Colossus?
Yeah. Well, no, Shadow of the Colossus is pretty popular. Yeah. It always gets good reviews. That one's coming out in HD this year. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
On the PS. I picked Persona 4. Persona 4 was kind of a weird choice.
Persona was the weird one.
Yeah. I think I picked Halo 2.
I don't remember what I picked.
I'd have to go back and listen to the show.
Yeah. For the decade, at least. I mean, technically, the decade's over. Well, no, it ended last year, so yeah. So this is... We're just in the middle of a decade, nothing special this year.
Yeah.
Just a whole year, not 10.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of good games. I mean, I don't know what you guys were playing, but there was a lot of good stuff. Though, mostly, it was just... For me, it was just Battlefield and... Halo. But a lot of good stuff came out. I mean, I played Mass Effect 2. I played Soul Silver. I don't think Soul Silver came out this year, though. Did it? Soul Silver come out this year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, Soul Silver and Heart Gold, yeah.
Yeah, I played those a lot. I mean, I didn't get to play Red Dead Redemption. I didn't get to play a lot of games that people said were good, like Alan Wake. I mean, pretty much it was just... You know, Soul Silver, Mass Effect, and a few other games that I played. So, mine can be a little bit of a shorter list, probably than other people's, because I didn't really get to play as much. Because I don't know, I'm the true Halo fanatic that, that's pretty much the game I play. You know, some people, they just play.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
Call of Duty.
I mean, there's a few other games that I've played, like Assassin's Creed and Need for Speed, that
occasional,
here's something else to do.
Because normally, like, I'll rent games throughout the year, but, like, I wanted to rent Army of Two, like, Dante's Inferno and stuff like that, and even Red Dead, but I just never got around to doing it. I never even played a new Civ yet. There was so much stuff to play this year.
Right.
It's Civilization.
You've been busy with Halo and StarCraft.
Yes, well, I got StarCraft for my birthday, which was in December, so it just seems like I've been playing a lot, but I've really only been playing it for like 3 weeks. So in the spec of a year, that wasn't really that much. So, I mean, Super Mario Galaxy 2, I didn't play that. Mod Nation Racers? Come on, look at all the stuff that came out this year. There's too many games.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of games. And there's a lot of games next year.
I mean, come on. I'm just kidding.
There's a lot of games next year, too.
Yes. Yeah, there'll be, like, next year I'll probably only buy... Skyrim and 3, Mass Effect 3 probably, or maybe Gears of War if that comes out. That'll probably be the... Well, I'm going to buy Little Big Planet next week, so But anyway.
Okay.
I mean, there's so many good games came out every month. You can see just some big title, probably set for December, unless you want to count Epic Mickey. Nothing really. Like every month, you had something: Gran Turismo, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, there was lots of stuff.
Came out.
Yeah.
Move came out. Fable 3, Rock Band. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
So much stuff that came out this year. It's kind of hard to
see.
Well,
what kind of? Go ahead.
Hmm?
Go ahead.
I was done.
Oh, yeah. I was just gonna say that a lot of that stuff ended up kind of being disappointing, though, just based off of like review scores and stuff. Like Gran Turismo got righted because of its like crappy UI.
Yeah, it's
and
really
I've seen the UI in like videos and stuff. It's like I don't even know how to explain the UI because it seems like something they could make so easy. Like Forza 3 does a fantastic job of presenting its UI. It's like real clean. Everything's you know, super like white and sterile, and you just have the cars, and it says like, okay, you want to buy a car, you click here. You want to sell a car in the auction house, you click here. You want to upgrade a car, you click here, you know, or whatever. In Gran Turismo, there's all sorts of weird menus and things that are super vague, like My Life Racing, like, and you have like some sort of home inside your racing UI.
I had a customer that bought it, or his wife bought him the Gran Turismo bundle for Christmas. And he said he spent 3 hours trying to figure out how to start a race. See, he's never owned any gaming system before. This is his first one. He wanted a Blu-ray player, and he's really into cars. So his wife bought him this. He wanted to play the game. So he came in, and he was trying to ask me, how do I do it? And I showed it to him like in 3 seconds. And he was just saying it how impossible it was for somebody who doesn't. You gotta just like assume you don't know anything about, you know. I mean, you can play a game and just figure out, you know, career mode. Okay, that's probably right. Gonna do some decision making. I'll just go in the free play. You know, probably what he did is he just hit the first A button, and then just started picking stuff and didn't know what to do. You know, I mean, it wasn't. But in Forza, it's you have like two options, and it's really simple. So yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
He wasn't the only one that complained about it. Not the only customer I had, but that one sticks out because he said he spent 3 hours trying to figure it out. And then I showed it to him in like a second, and he was, you know, all mad. I explained to him, you know.
Right.
People that don't play just don't know. So.
Right.
Fable 3 took a lot of flack, too.
I didn't play it, so.
Yeah, I didn't play it either, but just based off of what I've heard, there's like some sort of amazing twist at the end. And I went ahead and spoiled it for myself because sometimes morbid curiosity just gets the best of me, and I've got to know game endings before I actually play them, you know, just because they kept complaining about it, and I wanted to know what was so bad about it. And I don't want to spoil anything, but basically the way you play the game, if you play the game as a paragon, as a good moral character, because you have the choice. That's the thing about Fable. You can be the super good character or the super evil character. If you play the character good all the way through, at the end of the game, unless you have performed a certain task that they don't tell you about, basically your entire kingdom dies. Like everybody that you, because you're the king in that game. That's not a spoiler because they've already made that clear. Half the game you try to overthrow your brother to become the king, and then the rest of the game you actually spend time as the king doing things for your kingdom.
Yeah.
But like if you play the game good, and then you don't do this thing they don't tell you about, all of a sudden your entire kingdom just it gets impoverished or something. Like, I don't want to spoil it, but basically everybody dies off except for a few, and the few people that are left hate your ass because you didn't do anything to stop this thing that happens.
So but if you're a bad guy, then it's all good.
Yeah, but if you're a bad guy, it doesn't happen. That's the screwed up thing. The event that causes all these people to die doesn't happen if you're the evil one.
That's weird.
Because the way you play an evil character basically auto finishes the task you have to do to ensure that your kingdom doesn't die. And it's hard to explain without going into spoilers, but
yeah. That's pretty cool. I guess, well, I mean, it's not cool, but
I was going to say, what? How is that cool?
The only complaint. There was a lot of complaints about like the weapon system. Like, you can get different weapons throughout the game, but your weapons level up. So even if you do get a high-level weapon at the end, usually the sword that you had at the beginning that you've been leveling up by killing, you know, enemies and stuff, is more powerful than the one that you could have gotten at the end game.
So, there's no
so
point.
People just stick with their original weapon, you know, just stuff like that. And it was disappointing because I love Fable, and I was really excited for that game. But after I heard the reviews, I'm like, you know, I might wait and rent it later or something. You know, I'm not going to jump on this while I have other games that I could be playing.
Well, I guess, like I said, you shouldn't miss out because Brent's going to go on something. So
yeah, so let's yeah. move on before this tangent goes even crazier.
Well, why don't you tell us which one you did like? Which ones did you like this year?
Which ones did I like? I liked Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
Red Dead Redemption.
All right.
If I had to pick a third just to have my top three, because Mass Effect 2 is first, Red Dead is second, and I guess third would have to be...
It has to be Soul Silver.
Here's the thing. I love Soul Silver, and I love the idea of, you know, giving me that little bit of nostalgia back that I had 10 years ago, but it's the same game. They didn't create, you know, a brand new game. They added a few things, but it's basically the exact same game from 10 years ago with some graphical updates and...
Well, there's some new
features. And the new features are cool.
You were in the Heavy Rain for a while, too, weren't you?
No, I never played Heavy Rain. Okay. I heard a lot about Heavy Rain. I read the spoiler on that, too, because I heard that one was pretty bad. And it is kind of bad, the twist and the story, but...
I don't know. I didn't play it, but I watched someone play all the way through, and I kind of liked it.
Yeah. I mean, some people could like the spoiler, obviously. I mean, it's subjective. I don't know if I necessarily think...
I don't know. It was an interesting twist, I thought. It was something that I didn't see coming.
I feel that
until very
like
late.
I understand it. I mean, but just from a gameplay perspective, I did the demo for Heavy Rain, right? I just couldn't get into it.
I could.
Like, the voice acting was just terrible in that game. I understand that it's like Canadians and French Canadian actors trying to do American accents, but it doesn't work. Like, it just causes some weird narrative dissonance for me. Like, it's in America, but everybody sounds weird. It's like, I don't know.
It's like if a whole bunch of Indian actors were doing it, and it's a white dude.
Yeah, I mean...
Like in The Last Airbender, where all the bad people were Arabic, and all the good people were white. When in the show, everybody's Chinese.
That kind of unreal aspect is always hanging over the narrative, and it just bothers me for some reason. I don't know. But I mean, Heavy Rain, I heard, was a pretty good game. I haven't played it, so I can't really make a huge value judgment on it.
So what's the third?
Third is Dragon Quest IX. Because everybody thought that Dragon Quest IX was going to be awful. In Japan, everybody bitched about it. They were like, this is going to be on handhelds. It's always been on consoles. This is going to be awful. Nobody's going to play this. It's going to be shit. And then it comes out, and it's like the most popular DS game, you know, ever to be released in Japan or something, you know, behind Pokemon.
If you could rank Reach, would it even be in your top 10?
Here's the thing with Reach. It would be in my top 5, but I have played so much Halo over the years that I don't feel that was a game that was released to be critically analyzed and reviewed. And I don't know how to explain that, but basically what I'm saying is, Bungie, when they made this, they weren't thinking, hey man, look, we're going to get great reviews on this, you know? We're going to get 90s and 95s and 98s and stuff, and it's going to be awesome.
It was a game for the fans, basically.
Yeah, it was basically just saying, hey, look, we've learned all this stuff. We know you love Halo. We know that the Halo formula is awesome.
Yeah.
So we're going to take everything we learned, and we're going to make this amazing game, and we're going to make it for you, all right? And we're going to make it for us, too, just to say, you know, this is the culmination of 10 years' worth of work. Here you go. And, I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah,
and it's amazing, but I don't feel that it's in the same running as these games. And the same reason that I won't put World of Warcraft Cataclysm up for my, you know, Game of the Year deliberations or whatever, because I feel that World of Warcraft is its own thing by now. Like, it's not looking.
It's not even a game anymore. It's a lifestyle.
Like World of Warcraft, for real. I mean, it's transcended what you would normally think of as a video game into something completely different. It is a virtual world.
You are scaring me even more into playing this game. I don't want to play it because of what I hear, and I'm just glad I haven't played it yet.
Right.
I'm too busy with Halo.
Yeah.
Halo is a constant for me. Halo, it might as well be football for me. Right. I mean, you don't review football every year. You don't say, man, this was a 98 this year. You know, you don't watch the NFL and, you know, pick every season and go through and do numerical or letter reviews. That's what it is for me. Halo comes out and I'm like, yep, this is the Halo. I love it. I'm going to keep playing it.
Yeah.
While I'm doing this, I'm going to keep, you know, critically analyzing these other games that were released for that purpose. Like, I feel like Dragon Quest IX was an attempt to say, hey, we're going to try this new thing. We're going to put this game that was on a console, this traditional Japanese role-playing game, we're going to put it on a DS, and then we're going to take the DS's features and see how many gameplay elements and mechanics we can build around that. So there's a lot of, like, multiplayer that goes on in Dragon Quest IX, local multiplayer, which is a bigger deal in Japan, where everybody is so close together, and you can meet a lot of people on, like, trains and stuff, and just walking around the street, you know, if you have your DS on, you can actually tag people, and they'll send you items and, like, treasure maps in Dragon Quest IX just by passing them in the street if you have your DS, you know, in sleep mode or whatever while you're walking around. The multiplayer, I haven't done it yet, but based on what I've heard and based on what I know about it, it seems like it's amazing, because in most multiplayer role-playing games, you have a team that is engaged in some sort of active time combat. You know, like in World of Warcraft, everything's moving around. Nothing stops, right? So it's not turn-based. You have to keep moving and use your spells as you're moving around. But this is a turn-based role-playing game that still features multiplayer. So each player takes turns picking the move that they want to do that turn. And then it just, you know, goes through the round and shows you all the results and stuff, and then keeps going like that. And I love traditional turn-based role-playing games like that. And I've always thought that it would be a cool idea to have multiplayer like that, so I'm glad that somebody's finally gotten around to doing it. Because it's a lot more strategic, it seems to me, than the active time combat. You actually have to sit and think, like, what is going to be the absolute best way for me to win this battle that I'm fighting right now? You know, and you have to cooperate with your team. I assume that it might be tough, because the DS doesn't have any, like, voice support. You know, so you can't talk to your teammates and ask, what are you going to do next? Well, we need a heal over here, or whatever.
Well, there's a mic for it.
Yeah, there's a mic, but Nintendo just does not believe in voice chat at all on their console. The one time they introduced voice chat was for Animal Crossing City Folk on Wii, and they released a little mic thing. That you put, it's like a speaker mic. I think that Metroid Hunters might have had online voice chat with the little mic on the DS.
I hated that game. Jesus.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my top three.
You don't have it. What was your third one? You never said. Oh, yeah, you did. Never mind.
Yeah, Rockway 9.
Try to go, Greg.
My bad. Do you want to go next, Tessin, or shall I go?
Sure, I can go.
Okay.
I'm going to start with number three and go up. And let's see. Well, maybe I'll start with my first one, because I don't know what my third one is quite yet. I have to think about it. But my first one, I am definitely going to say Fallout New Vegas. And granted, there's been a lot of games that have been released that I haven't played yet, like Black Ops and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. That stuff yet, so my picks are probably going to be very particular because I haven't bought many games. But despite the glitches and all the bugs and Fallout, I definitely like the Fallout games. Fallout 3 was great. Fallout New Vegas was basically the same, except it's a whole new story, which I like. So that would be my number one pick for this year. Number two would definitely be Blur. I played the beta when it came out, and I played that like crazy. I put away Halo to play Blur while the beta was out. Sadly enough, I only had people to play Blur about for the first month Blur was out, and then a lot of my friends stopped playing it and went on to other things. But for anyone that loves Mario Kart and loves hardcore racing game, I think Blur is the perfect mashup between the two. So I would say that would be my number two. And then number three would be just Pokemon, probably. Because out of the other games that I've gotten this year, that was probably one of the games I played most often whenever I had time to.
Yeah.
Even though it is a remake, there are some added things that make it kind of interesting. And Pokemon is just one of those things, if you grew up with it, you're always going to play it. I think that's kind of a curse on our generation.
You always find a reason to play it, but when you play it, after a while, you're just like, God. I wanted this to change. God. It's awesome, but I'm never going to catch them all.
Yeah. I almost caught them all. I've only got like three left in Soul Silver.
Yellow.
I mean, up to the original like 256 or however many there were.
I said I'm never going to catch them all. I mean, I don't.
54.
I can't beat the
Leaf. That's a goal. That's a goal for me. Catch them all.
Gotta catch them all. Pokemon.
That's what it is for me more than the game itself is usually the experience. You know, just having Pokemon, talking about it with my friends, you know, like I did back in the good old days, 10 years ago.
Dude, in elementary school, it was what's up. That's what was going on was Pokemon cards.
Voice to school and train.
You watched the games. You played tournaments. I went to tournaments at malls and stuff. It was ridiculous.
I remember having to host like underground Pokemon card tournaments because my elementary school like banned Pokemon cards. So I'd be out at like on the playground at recess, just like behind like a shed or something playing Pokemon cards.
Yeah, we used to do that when we were friends.
That's funny. Wow.
Up in your treehouse.
I just have two boxes of Pokemon cards in my room.
I sold all mine.
I
had the Charizard. You know, he was the best.
I'll remember what good cards I have. I know I have, I think, two of the three legendary birds.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I think I had all three.
I think I just have Moltres and Zapdos.
I wonder if those listeners are going to hate us again for talking about Pokemon. Those iTunes review listeners.
Oh, jeez.
Someone on iTunes says that we talk about Pokemon too much?
Yeah.
I haven't read the review myself, but I don't know.
I have
to imagine that Pokemon is a completely different experience for kids that are like 10 now than it is for someone like me, who was around when it began.
Yeah.
Like, what is it like for those kids? what are their original Pokemon? Like, when they think of like the original set of Pokemon, what Pokemons come to mind? How many Pokemans fill their brains with images when they think of Pokemon?
I'm actually wondering now if I can name the first one, 51.
You probably could.
I used to remember the Pokérap.
Oh,
so does that count?
Could you do them in order?
I don't remember it now.
Yeah, could you do them in order? Would be.
I couldn't do them in order. I can
do them in order because there's those weird extra ones from like 120 to 140.
Oh, you mean like
the first nine?
Like Kangaskhan, Chansey, Tauros, Scyther, those weird ones.
Yeah, the normal types are all kind of clumped together near the end.
Those are always the hardest ones for me to remember.
I never tried, so I don't know.
Yeah, you weren't a loser like us.
No, I played it. I mean, I had it. I'm not going to say I didn't play it. But
I remember this like weird period where when you're a kid, like there's a period where almost all of the guys like Pokemon. Then they grow out of it for a little while, from like 2002, I would say, is like the maximum point to where most dudes have moved on from Pokemon, up until 2008, where everybody then realizes that they're old enough to consider stuff nostalgic. So it's all right to like Pokemon again. Now it's nostalgia. Now it's retro. It's like Thundercats, you know? So
go ahead. Oh, boy. It's like Thundercats.
Like Voltron. It's all right.
I've never watched Voltron or Thundercats, though.
No, Thundercats is great. I haven't watched a whole lot of Voltron. But I love me some Thundercats.
Is there anybody else that you would say would be honorable mentions that you would like to mention? No, it's still Dustin. Oh,
I was going to say.
I would say Heavy Rain. I haven't played it, but I watched a friend play it at the LAN party, and I thought the story was very, very good. Halo Reach, obviously. Honorable mention to them, because Halo franchise is my favorite franchise.
Yes.
Looking through this big list of games. I haven't played much Need for Speed yet, so I really can't say one way or the other. And Brotherhood I actually just bought today as an early
purchase. Nice.
So I'll be playing.
You're about to help me get those achievements for multiplayer.
We'll do.
Because those are going to be friggin' difficult. I don't know how I get any of them.
I haven't even looked at the achievement list for that game, actually.
Most of the ones for single player will be doable.
Well, yeah. Single player ones are usually pretty
easy. I think I need like three more in single player. Besides beating, just beating the game.
Yeah, I still have like two or three achievements in Assassin's Creed 2 to get.
Oh, really? I got them all. Yeah.
Well, like I tried to do the achievements while I went through the story, like finding all the glyphs and stuff. And then there were just a couple of things that I didn't quite get. Like the kill someone while you're in the glider thing.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty hard. I tried that.
That was difficult.
Yeah.
I haven't played any XBLA games.
Nobody said Black Ops. It's funny. I thought one of us was going to say Black Ops.
My brother loves Black Ops.
Game of the year for Dustin's brother. Call of Duty Black Ops.
Yep. That would be right. That would be right.
Well, I guess it's my turn then. Since
it is your turn.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I'll do the 3-1 thing because I wrote it down.
Oh, he's prepared, y'all.
Yeah, I wrote it down. Because I was last. I had more time to think than you guys did. I'm going to do... 3 is a toss-up between two games. I guess I'm going to put... I'm going to rank mine for time of played and enjoyment. Not just, I think this game was great. I'm going to say how much I enjoyed it. And how much I actually spent time on it. So my third one's going to be a toss-up between two games, and it's going to be Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Battlefield Bad Company 2. Practically between me beating – or I guess after the beta and before Reach, and even before the beta, I was playing Battlefield – I wouldn't say every day, but pretty darn close.
Okay.
To just about every day. So Battlefield Bad Company 2, I spent a lot of time, and I thought it was great. I was terrible at it. I was absolutely terrible. And I still like to play it every day. Well, I don't play anymore now since Reach has come out. But in terms of me liking it and time spent on it, I think Bad Company 2 should be one of the two for my third favorite. The next one would be Brotherhood for third, just that I think it's awesome. The story is kind of spotty here and there. Rome doesn't feel it's bigger technically square mileage if you want to look at it compared to Assassin's Creed 2. It just doesn't feel as big because you're not going around the country. You're just in one big city.
Right.
Different parts of the city have different aspects. It just doesn't feel as big because basically when you play the game, one half is the city and the other half it just happens to be land that's within the wall, and you'll get to notice that when you start playing at distance, but it just doesn't feel as big, but the gameplay is awesome. I never go out of my way to do things that either A, doesn't care about the storyline or isn't an achievement, and I've spent so much time doing other stuff in the game that I've never probably done in something that wasn't a Halo game. And it was just awesome. I've enjoyed about 90% of it. I mean, there's some things that are stupid, but I mean, it's just like any game. You're not going to love it 100%. Number two, there's no more toss-ups from here on out.
Yeah.
Number two is going to be StarCraft II.
Of course.
I don't know if anybody talks to me or knows anything about what I do, but StarCraft, I mean, I've been playing a lot. So the gameplay is awesome. It's simple like before. Battle.net is, I mean, it's not Xbox Live, but it's the closest thing in the gaming world, in my opinion, that you can get to how easy it is to make parties, and they just make it so simple to play. In StarCraft 1, it was hard to, you know, two people had to make sure they knew exactly what server they were in and find all this other crap, and then you had to. Yeah.
Well, Steam does a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like it's all in one spot. You just hit create party, search, it matchmakes a game. So you don't really have to find anything. Okay. It's just matchmaking. There's so many different things to do. I've probably watched more StarCraft II videos this year, even before I got the game, than Reach. So I used to watch a lot of Reach montages and Red vs. Blue, but now I watch a lot of like StarCraft casts and pro tips and all this other stuff. So just the whole. And I mean, StarCraft II would have been my number two game if I had got it or not. I was not expecting to get it because I didn't think that my computer could run it. Mm-hmm. But then I got it for my birthday. Thanks to my awesome girlfriend. And her computer can run it. So
nice.
Luckily, I'm able to play it on her computer. So number one, I'm going to be that guy because I play this every day. It's not because we're on the show, but number one is Halo Reach because I played it. I've played it today. I played it yesterday with Dustin. I probably played it the day before with somebody who was listening. I'm going to play it tomorrow with somebody who's listening. I've played it. I mean, it's people at work. I mean, that's what they know. I play all of Halo. My nickname in my fraternity was Master Queef because I played it every day. Yeah. I played it every day. I still do. I probably always – not always will, but I mean there will be a time when you know I won't play it every day. But
I always try to play whenever I can.
Even when I didn't have live, I was still playing Firefight and Campaign and everything else, which is astounding because I'm only a major and everybody else is generals and stuff, and I'm astounded on how everybody has.
You don't really go for challenges that often.
No, I just play the game.
Which is why.
I don't go out of the way. I just
I do challenges.
Pwn noobs in the face. What I do.
You gotta help me get pwn noobs.
Reach brought so much to the table that people just don't really appreciate. I guess that there's no other console game by far. There's some PC games you can do this, but it's not really the same thing. Consoles are a wider range of people, more people play them, so it's a wider audience. You can make maps, though I've never done it. You can forge stuff, though I've never done it. You can make game types and everything. I've never done that, but just the fact that you can do all that, that's where a lot of people are coming from. But for me, I just play it. I just go matchmaking, turn it on, play it. There's always at least four people on at all times playing Reach, so it's easier for me to find a good party and play and have fun. So I mean, this is the whole experience. It's not just if you haven't played Reach and you don't understand it, you won't understand it until you play it, because people who play it tell you it's awesome, and people who just watch gameplay and like, oh, it's just a normal first person. You don't play the game, you don't know how easy it is and how it's just you can find it. You can turn it on, find a game, and you're playing within 30 seconds of you turning your console on.
Yeah,
I don't know of another game where that you can do that. Bad Company, I liked it a lot, but it just wasn't as easy. I played Call of Duty, but as far as I hear, it's not as easy as well, and there's other little gripes about it. But the story was great, though the ending is really weird if you read the books. And doesn't really add up if you were. If you read the books, the ending doesn't really add up. I'm not going to say why. I mean, can you release a spoiler now?
I think we have on the show already. We've already talked about it.
We're past spoiler. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess we can go and say it again that Master Chief.
If you haven't played the game, you should be listening to the show.
Master Chief wasn't on Reach at all when the Covenant attacked. In fact, the Pillar of Autumn found the Covenant before anybody else did, and they came back to try to tell them. Master Chief was in space, so I don't know what he was doing in a cryo bay inside of a Pelican, unless this happened. Because supposedly in the book, what happens is they go to that station, blow it to smithereens, and then they go back to the Pillar of Autumn, and then they book it. The only thing that really makes sense with Reach the game and Reach the book is that before they booked it, they went back down to get Cortana. Yeah. But Cortana was already on the ship.
Well, the except for her.
Yeah, they've explained that. It's Splinter Cell conviction stuff. I don't know.
it's a splinter of Cortana.
It's a splinter clone or something.
Yeah, but they still never say. They say once Chief got back into the Autumn, they left. They didn't go down to the.
Well, I mean, there's always time. There's always holes for timeline events that they.
Yeah, I mean, you can make it make sense.
There's probably some very fine line detail stuff that they're walking a very tight rope.
Kind of like you could like when I was talking to Brent and how theoretically George is still alive somewhere.
I don't think so.
Theoretically, could be, and I hope that he is. So I don't know. I mean, just in terms of enjoyment and. Amount of time played, and I think a good game. Brent said it. It's not a game for us. I mean, if you play.
No, it is a game for us. It's a game for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, for us three. I mean, if you play something every day, it's not a game anymore. It's something you do.
Yeah.
It's like I'm known from people.
It's a lifestyle almost. Yeah.
But yeah,
well, it's almost like you say my favorite game is eating.
Yeah, I mean,
if he's saying something like that, it's just ridiculous. Right.
In terms of video games that I spent most time and enjoyed, Halo Reach has to be the number one. StarCraft has to be number two, and then number three would be a toss-up between Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Battlefield Bad Company. If I had honorable mentions, Soul Silver, I spent a lot of time on it. I really never enjoyed it. I never liked it. I spent if you were ask my girlfriend what I was doing when I was playing it. I bought the strategy guide, and I spent more time in the strategy guide trying to figure out who my six starters should be than I actually did playing the
frig. Oh, I don't worry about that.
No, I just
go with it. I just wing it.
I spent so much time like trying to counter stuff because I know electric's terrible against this, so I'd have a good counter for that, and I just spent too much time overthinking things.
See, I just actually take the time to train up different Pokemon.
I mean, I did too.
I'm patient like that for some reason.
Like,
which is why I still haven't beaten the third boss gym yet.
I switched out Flamphy and the water Pokemon that has electric out like between each other like eight times, like, because I would pick one and then I would get in a situation where they were terrible and then I thought the other one would be better. And I just kept switching them. I ended up going with Flamphy and Ampharos, but I was trying to get a Lantern because I thought that a water electric combination would be great. But I don't know. Anyway, because he had that bug move, but whatever.
Well, we'll leave the Pokemon discussion for
it. Yes. Anyway,
we seriously need to do that Golden Rod radio show.
If I had any honorable mentions, it would be Mass Effect 2 would definitely be on there. Soul Silver would definitely be on there. And that's probably it. That's probably the only games I even played. I got Black Ops. I haven't played it, so I can't even say I spent time on it. There's not really a game that came out this year either that I didn't like, that I didn't play. So I wanted to play a lot of games. There's a lot of games I wanted to play, just couldn't get around to, you know.
And I
honestly never will play these games, but there's a lot of games I want to play, but I won't. I just won't play them.
A lot of games for me, I will not buy them unless I know I'm going to like it already, like Fallout New Vegas.
You can't say that a game like Naughty Bear or even like Epic Mickey for $60, or it's $50, but let's just pretend that Epic Mickey and Halo were the same price. There's no way in heck that they are, you get the same amount for your money. It's like with StarCraft.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
And Mass Effect and Halo. You spent $60, you probably got your $60 worth, but if you spent $60 on 99 Nights 2, Bloodstone, I mean, Sonic, Medal of Honor even. I mean, if you spent $60 on those, there's no way you got as much stuff out of it as you did of New Vegas or Mass Effect. There's just no way. So I understand why people wouldn't buy games. I wouldn't do it either.
Huh, Trackmania got released on the Wii. Didn't know that.
Anyway, that about wraps up this show for the most part.
Boom chicka boom.
That's all of our picks for 2010.
Yes. Yeah.
Next show we will be reading your guys' picks.
Yes, we will. So tune back.
Tune back in a couple of days. And you will hear them read on the show. We only have about 5, I think. But there is a forum thread that we'll read from. But you guys will hear that in the next episode. So let's wrap this sucker up. Send in your tips, tricks, and tales to submissions@podtagger.com for a chance to be featured on the show. Read these regularly throughout the show rotation.
Check out podtagger.com for the latest community events and news. While you're there, check out our forums where you can meet up with other fans and listeners of the show.
We would like to thank everyone who helps us out at Podtacular by donation through PayPal, leading clans and events, following us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribing to the show.
For those who subscribe to the show through RSS, iTunes, or other podcast aggregators, please visit podtacular.com for more information about updating your feeds to the latest ones. And that's it for episode 245. It's a good year for games. I think 2011 should be a good year for games as well.
Yes, yeah. There's going to – oh my, this show next year is going to be even longer because I can't pick a Halo game. Seriously, if Skyrim is coming out, unless this game is – there's something wrong. I mean, we got Black and White coming out this year, Skyrim, Mass Effect 3. I mean, Uncharted. Gears of War, Uncharted. I didn't even know that. Oh my God. So many stuff. And I'm probably going to buy the Kinect before the year's over.
Yeah. 3DS? Oh, man. I'm ready for 3DS because I want to play Star Fox in my hand.
God.
Oh.
That would be so awesome. Mario Kart 3D. Holy crap.
Oh, that would be That would be cool.
They've already announced that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming out later next year, I think. It's either next year or...
So if I were to buy a console this year, like I have an Xbox... But I don't have a Wii or a PS3. I'm really thinking about buying a PS3, but there's like some games on the Wii that just be fun to have and play whenever I have a party over.
Don't buy a Wii. It's in this box. We need to finish, but my Wii's in this box. I'm afraid to say it's terrible, but
I don't know. I like Brawl. I like
Brawl. If you're in the Brawl, then that's a different story.
Here's the thing. If you really appreciate Nintendo's properties, if you really love Mario and Zelda and all of those other properties, then you should get a Wii. Because first-party games on the Wii are always great. All of Nintendo's first-party games that they put out, none of them are bad. Like, the only bad first-party Wii game I can think of is, like, Wii Music. Don't pick that up. But... Like Kirby's Epic Yarn got really good reviews. Like the fact that Kirby's Epic Yarn was reportedly so easy, but everybody loves it so damn much, just speaks to how incredibly cool looking that game is. Just from a completely visual standpoint, Kirby's Epic Yarn is a miracle of game design because nothing looks like that. Super Mario Galaxy 2 was the highest rated game of the year based on aggregate. You know, review sites.
And I haven't played it, and I want to.
And it's amazing that game got like a 98.2 average review score, almost perfect across the board. And for some reason, it never showed up in a top 5 list, or not top. It never showed up in like a top 3 list this year.
It did on if you. I mean, if you went like reviewers, but not on like an official website. So, I mean, I understand what you mean. There's like I want to get GoldenEye. There's a lot of games for the Wii I want to play. However, I just haven't got around to it. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's just either I'm going to play Halo or I'm going to play all those games.
Here's the problem I have with GoldenEye. And I guess we better end this pretty quick because the show, this is like the after show, I guess. But here's the problem I have with GoldenEye. Everybody that has played GoldenEye says it's a pretty good game. But I think that those people are people that just own a Wii, don't own anything else, so they don't know what a good first-person shooter is. Like, I'm not saying that GoldenEye is a bad game because I haven't played it yet. But just based off of what I've seen, first of all, it's... as far as I can tell, a direct remake of the original GoldenEye, just with different graphics. Yeah, and Daniel Craig is Pierce Brosnan or whatever. And it just looks like a very like average first person shooter to me. I don't think that it deserves quite as many accolades as it receives. I think it's mainly just like the people that own a Wii, like, we finally got a first person shooter that isn't complete shit.
I still want to play it. But
I mean, I loved GoldenEye back on the N64, but I'm saying I don't think that exact formula holds up over time. GoldenEye was very much a product of the fact that on the N64, there were no console first-person shooters, you know? I mean, it was kind of the first one that gained real momentum. Had popular local multiplayer.
I guess that answers your question, Dustin. We don't know.
I'm just saying, if you really appreciate Nintendo products and Nintendo franchises, go for the Wii, because I have a PS3 and not a Wii, and sometimes I sit in front of my PS3 thinking, man, all of the extra stuff on this PS3 that I would want to do that the Wii doesn't have, I can already do on the 360. Yeah. And I can't play Kirby or Mario or the new Zeldas that come out.
I don't have any games for my PS3. The only one I have Little Big Planet, and I'm going to buy Little Big Planet 2.
I mean, the ones I would buy for PS3, if I got it, would be like God of War, Uncharted, those kind of games.
Dude, look, I bought Uncharted. I beat it in maybe 8 hours.
And you got all the trophies and stuff or not?
No. It wasn't that good.
It's not really worth going back. Uncharted is kind of a game that you play through once and enjoy it, never go back.
It's a movie.
It's a one-time, like...
Okay.
And it's really good, but like the one time you go through it, it's fantastic. Uncharted 2 was an amazing visual experience that I will never forget.
Yeah.
But I will never play that game again. That's the reason I rented it.
Yeah.
It was great, and I don't want to go back.
Never buy a game that I don't on a PS3 again because of that. That I don't have any kind of multiplayer aspect. And if it's multiplayer, I'm going to buy it for the Xbox. If it's, you know.
I think that answers my question. Okay.
Now, when Shadow of the Colossus HD comes out, you'll have to buy a PS3 because Shadow of the Colossus is one of the few games that I would say
they should just make one system.
Comes close to touching perfection.
It's got everything, so I don't have to make this fucking decision. I mean, literally, you got to think about it. I've got all three between me and my girlfriend. We probably spent, I don't know, $1,000 on all these consoles that we have right here. Why can't they just make one with everything for $1,000? I'd probably buy it.
Propriety. Yeah,
you could never get the big three to come together like that.
Nintendo's just like a core fan base.
Unless they were taking on a common enemy.
I mean, PS3 and Xbox 360 would make sense to combine, but putting Nintendo in there as well just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Nintendo's like...
Nintendo's is almost its own different category or market.
Thematically, the companies are completely different. You know, you get the real saccharine, sugary Nintendo themes with Mario jumping around. You know, he's a plumber in a red suit and he jumps on mushrooms, and Kirby is real cute. But then you have like the main games for Microsoft and Sony are like God of War and Gears of War and Blank of War. You know, all the different war-based.
War! What is it good for?
And I guess that's why I always appreciated Nintendo. The fact that they never kind of fell into that, you know, we're gonna cater to the more violent audience. They always stood by their initial real cutesy franchises, and I think that those franchises are extremely creative in ways that other games choose not to be in favor of, you know, more of the violence, more of the Call of Duties, and I enjoy gun games, and I enjoy, you know, first person shooters and you know, random violence in video games. I don't have a problem with that. It's just that sometimes I enjoy more of the creative stuff and the stuff that, you know, the companies like Nintendo are putting out.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be so realistic or anything, but it just needs to be fun.
Yeah, but I mean, Nintendo takes a completely different stance to where they say we're gonna take it one step further. Like we're gonna not only make it unreal, we're going to make it fantastical in the way that Disney did way back in the day when they were, you know, making amazing animated videos instead of, you know, the Pixar stuff every year. I like Pixar, but sometimes, you know, I sit and I think, man, I would really like just a super good Disney animated movie again, you know? Give me another Lion King. Give me another, you know, Aladdin or something.
Oh, they did.
Princess and the Frog.
It was terrible.
That doesn't count. And
we'll end the show on that note.
Yes. Yeah. Princess and the Frog was terrible. Thank you for listening to Pod Taggerly on the official Halo Universe podcast.
Okay, tune in the next show to hear your guys' submissions. Until then, peace.
Deuces. Bye.